Today is April the 18th. Today, we see Saul's rise. Today, as you read through the Bible in a year, please read 1 Samuel chapters 11 through 13. Now, at the end of chapter 10, we're told that Ammon was oppressing the two tribes to the east of the Jordan, Gad and Reuben. In fact, they had taken over city by city, and every time they did, they gouged out the right eye of every fighting man in those cities. 7,000 kind of walled up in Jabesh Gilead. Ammon attacks them. They say, "We see where this is going. Make a treaty with us." And Ammon says, "We'll make a treaty with you, but first let us gouge out the right eye of every man in Jabesh Gilead." They say, "Give us 7 days to give you an answer." They go and they find Saul, the newly declared king. Saul happens to be at his father's house where he is plowing the land, preparing for a harvest. They tell Saul what's happened. The spirit comes on him. Saul calls Israel together and he fights against Ammon, wins the day, and Reuben and Gad are now free. Israel is now a nation. Saul is from Benjamin. Saul was a long ways away. But the tribes of Israel have now coalesced. They are now fighting together for each other. Chapter 12, Samuel gives his farewell address. The people realize that Samuel's sons, like Eli's sons, are not good people. Samuel gives his farewell address. He encourages the people to keep following the Lord. That's not the end of Samuel, but he does fall into the back scenes now. Chapter 13 tells of Saul's continued war with Philistia. In fact, during Samuel's reign, he had a standing army of 3,000 men. And then he took others with him from the farmers and the other fighting men of fighting age from other tribes, went to fight the Philistines and won the day against the Philistines. The Lord delivered Israel. But they didn't totally defeat the Philistines. They instead start a long war with Philistia. Enjoy today as you read 1 Samuel 11 to 13.
About a month later, King Nahash of Ammon led his army against the Israelite town of Jabesh Gilead, but all the citizens of Jabesh asked for peace. "Make a treaty with us, and we will be your servants," they pleaded. "All right," Nahash said, "but only on one condition. I will gouge out the right eye of every one of you as a disgrace to all Israel. Give us 7 days to send messengers throughout Israel," replied the elders of Jabesh. "If no one comes to save us, we will agree to your terms." When the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and told the people about their plight, everyone broke into tears. Saul had been plowing a field with his oxen, and when he returned to town, he asked, "What is the matter? Why is everyone crying?" So they told him about the message from Jabesh. Then the Spirit of God came powerfully upon Saul, and he became very angry. He took 2 oxen and cut them into pieces and sent the messengers to carry them throughout Israel with this message: "This is what will happen to the oxen of anyone who refuses to follow Saul and Samuel into battle." The Lord made the people afraid of Saul's anger, and all of them came out together as one. When Saul mobilized them at Bezek, he found that there were 300,000 men from Israel and 30,000 men from Judah. So Saul sent the messengers back to Jabesh-Gilead to say, "We will rescue you by noontime tomorrow." There was great joy throughout the town when that message arrived. The men of Jabesh told their enemies, "Tomorrow we will come out to you, and you can do whatever you wish." But before dawn the next morning, Saul arrived, having divided his army into three detachments. He launched a surprise attack against the Amorites and slaughtered them the whole morning. The remnant of their army was so badly scattered that no two of them were left together. Then the people exclaimed to Samuel, "Now where are these men who said, 'Why should Saul rule over us?' Bring them here and we will kill them." But Saul replied, "No one will be executed today, for today the Lord has rescued Israel." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us all go to Gilgal to renew the kingdom." So they all went to Gilgal, and in a solemn ceremony before the Lord, they made Saul king. Then they offered peace offerings to the Lord, and Saul and all the Israelites were filled with joy. Then Saul addressed all Israel, "I have done as you asked, and given you a king. Your king is now your leader. I stand here before you, an old gray-haired man, and my sons serve you. I have served as your leader from the time I was a boy to this very day. Now testify against me in the presence of the Lord and before his anointed one. Whose ox or donkey have I stolen? Have I ever cheated any of you? Have I ever oppressed you? Have I ever taken a bribe or perverted justice? Tell me, and I will make right whatever I have done wrong." "No," they replied, "you have never cheated or oppressed us, and you have never taken a single bribe. The Lord and his anointed one are my witness today." Samuel declared, "That my hands are clean." "Yes, he is a witness," they replied. "It was the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron," Samuel continued. "He brought your ancestors out of the land of Egypt. Now stand here quietly before the Lord as I remind you all the great things the Lord has done for you and your ancestors." When the Israelites were in Egypt and cried out to the Lord, he sent Moses and Aaron to rescue them from Egypt and to bring them into his land. But the people soon forgot about the Lord their God, so he handed them over to Sisera, the commander of Hazor's army, and also the Philistines and the king of Moab who fought against them. Then they cried to the Lord again and confessed, "We have sinned by turning away from the Lord and worshipping the images of Baal and Ashtaroth. But we will worship you and you alone if you will rescue us from our enemies." Then the Lord sent Gideon, Bedan, Jephthah, and Samuel to save you, and you lived in safety. But when you were afraid of Nahash, the king of Ammon, you came to me and said that you wanted a king to reign over you, even though the Lord your God was already your king. All right, here is the king you have chosen. You asked for him, and the Lord has granted your request. Now, if you fear and worship the Lord and listen to his voice, and if you do not rebel against the Lord's commands, then both you and your king will show that you recognize the Lord as your God. But if you rebel against the Lord's commands and refuse to listen to him, then his hand will be as heavy upon you as it was upon your ancestors. Now stand here and see the great thing the Lord is about to do. You know that it does not rain at this time of the year during the wheat harvest. I will ask the Lord to send thunder and rain today. Then you will realize how wicked you have been in asking the Lord for a king." So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people were terrified of the Lord and of Samuel. "Pray to the Lord your God for us, or we will die," they all said to Samuel. "For now we have added to our sin by asking for a king." "Do not be afraid," Samuel reassured them. "You have certainly done wrong, but make sure that you worship the Lord with all your heart, and don't turn your back on him. Don't go back to worshiping worthless idols that cannot help rescue you. They are totally useless. The Lord will not abandon his people, because that would dishonor his great name. For it has pleased the Lord to make you his very own people. As for me, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you, and I will continue to teach you what is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and faithfully serve him. Think of all the wonderful things he has done for you, but if you continue to sin, you and your king will be swept away." Saul was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 42 years. Saul selected 3,000 special troops from the army of Israel and sent the rest of the men home. He took 2,000 of the chosen men with him to Michmash and the hill country of Bethel. The other 1,000 went with Saul's son Jonathan to Gibeah in the land of Benjamin. Soon after this, Jonathan attacked and defeated the garrison of the Philistines at Gibeah. The news spread quickly among the Philistines. So Saul blew the ram's horn throughout the land, saying, "Hebrews, hear this, rise up in revolt." All Israel heard the news that Saul had destroyed the Philistine garrison at Gibeah, and that the Philistines now hated the Israelites more than ever. So the entire Israelite army was summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. The Philistines mustered a mighty army of 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and as many warriors as the grains of sand on the seashore. They camped at Michmash, east of Beth-Aven. The men of Israel saw what a tight spot they were in, and because they were hard-pressed by the enemy, they tried to hide in caves, thickets, rocks, holes, and cisterns. Some of them crossed the Jordan River and escaped into the land of Gad and Gilead. Meanwhile, Saul stayed at Gilgal, and his men were trembling with fear. Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel had instructed him earlier. But Samuel still didn't come. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away, so he demanded, "Bring me the burnt offering and the peace offering." And Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. Just as Saul was finishing the burnt offering, Samuel arrived. Saul went out to meet and welcome him, but Samuel said, "What is this you have done?" Saul replied, "I saw my men scattering from me, and you didn't arrive when you said you would, and the Philistines are at Michmash ready for battle." So I said, "The Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal, and I haven't even asked for the Lord's help. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering myself before you came." "How foolish," Samuel exclaimed. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command." Samuel then left Gilgal and went on his way, but the rest of the troops went with Saul to meet the army. They went up from Gilgal to Gibeah in the land of Benjamin. When Saul counted the men who were still with him, he found only 600 were left. Saul and Jonathan and the troops with them were staying at Gibeah in the land of Benjamin. The Philistines set up their camp in Michmash. 3 raiding parties soon left the camp of the Philistines. One went north toward Ophrah in the land of Shul, another went west to Beth-Horon, and the 3rd moved toward the border above the valley of Zeboim near the wilderness. There were no blacksmiths in the land of Israel in those days. The Philistines wouldn't allow them for fear they would make swords and spears for the Hebrews. So whenever the Israelites needed to sharpen their plowshares, picks, axes, or sickles, they had to take them to a Philistine blacksmith. The charges were as follows: 1/4 ounce of silver for sharpening a plowshare or a pick, and 1/8 ounce for sharpening an axe or making the point of an ox goad. So, on the day of battle, none of the people of Israel had a sword or spear except for Saul and Jonathan. The pass at Michmash had meanwhile been secured by a contingent of the Philistine army.
Scripture reading from the New Living Translation, Bible Herrera. On Thursdays, New Hope Church posts in a podcast its sermon from the previous Sunday. Look for Become Hope in your favorite podcast app, or go to our YouTube channel, New Hope Church, Greenwood, IN. Tomorrow, we see Saul's decline.